Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
There are a lot of great leaders in the Scriptures. A lot of people who accomplished magnificent things, who were used by God in marvelous ways. And if we were to make a list, one of the people you would be sure to put on that list from the Old Testament would be Elijah. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration. Two folks from the Old Covenant get to show up and meet with Jesus before his passion. One of them, Moses. The other is Elijah. Moses represented to a great extent the law, even though he himself was a prophet. Elijah was representative of the prophets. There were a bunch of prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and yet Elijah, throughout Jewish history, was emblematic of the prophets. And when the Scriptures spoke of what would occur before Messiah's coming, Elijah was to come on the scene and turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children and children toward their fathers. And he was going to restore things before the coming of Messiah. And so the question about John the Baptist, is he Elijah? John the Baptist said no. Jesus said, actually, yes. Then we read in the book of Revelation, and Elijah still is presented as playing a significant role. And so all through the Scripture, Elijah is a giant. We're going to look, God willing, at a few lessons from the life of Elijah over the next few days. And I want to start toward the end of his story and then go back to the beginning, because there is a question that is asked by God when Elijah is on the run in chapter 19. Now, this is the low point, 1 Kings chapter 19. This is the low point of Elijah's life. He is depressed, he's exhausted, and he's running for fear of his life. God asks him a question. In verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God asks him that question again in verse 13. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want that question to be one that you relate to. What are you doing here? Whether you've been here a long time or whether you're new, it is vital that you know why you're here. So Elijah was asked the question at a low point in his life, "What are you doing here?" And it'll have, I believe, more meaning as we go back and look at the start of his ministry in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Elijah was a man who displayed enormous courage on occasion. And we're going to see that in his life. But the most important thing that Elijah did in his life was to obey God. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There's nothing you will ever do that will be as significant as obedience to God. Just whatever he says. The fact is, if we're going to serve the Lord, we will all at times be asked by him to do things that we would not sign up for. And in those moments, you need to ask yourself, why am I here? That's not a bad question to ask. It's not like, no, just put that thought from your mind. No. Grab hold of that thought. Ask yourself honestly, why am I here? If you look again at the beginning of chapter 17, Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab the king, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve. The literal translation of that phrase is, before whom I stand. What does that mean? He's saying, I am a servant who just stands and waits until God tells me to do something. Have you ever been to a really, really, really fine restaurant where you have a waiter? A waiter, which means a person who waits on you. That's the term that he used to describe himself in terms of his relationship with God. I am just here to do whatever he says. I am waiting on the Lord. When we think of waiting on the Lord, because that phrase is used in Scripture, wait, I say, on the Lord, most of us, unfortunately, tend to think of that as being like a doctor's waiting room. Okay? What are you doing? Well, I'm just waiting for my appointment. I'm supposed to be seen 20 minutes ago, and it's probably going to be in another hour. That's not what it means to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord means we are at his beck and call. He's in charge. We're here to serve. And that needs to be the case for all of us. Why are you here? What are you doing here? Well, I'm here because the Lord sent me. Now, the first place, after he says this to the king, the weather changes. We've seen recent weather systems in this country making national news. The flooding has been horrible. Well, they had the opposite problem in Elijah's day, and that was no water, because God turned off the tap. And God announced to the king, the wicked King Ahab, that he was going to do so. And the way that he announced it was Elijah going in and saying, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, before whom I stand, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. You cannot live without oxygen. Amen? Gotta have air. If you don't have air, you will die in a matter of minutes. Second to that is water. You have got to have water. Now, you can go more than a few minutes without water. You can go a matter of days without water. But you cannot go for a matter of months or years without water. You will die. Water is essential for life. It's the number one component in our bodies. You not only can't grow crops without water, you can go without food a lot longer than you can go without water. But you've got to have water. And God said to these people, because of the horrible sin that was going on in this culture, God said, I'm stopping the water. I'm not going to keep sending you water. I'm turning it off. We act as if we can just take everything for granted, you know? There's always going to be air. There's always going to be water. There's always going to be food. There's always going to be shelter. There'll always be this or that. And the fact of the matter is, everybody, everywhere, is entirely dependent on God at all times. We can't do anything without Him. God can shut any of us or all of us down like that. It is by the word of His power that the elements of the universe hold together. God keeps our planet spinning at the right speed. And so, when God says, I'm turning off the rain, there's not even going to be dew unless I say so. This is a problem. And guess who's going to be affected by it? Everybody. What about the people who love God? Well, they're going to suffer too. They're going to go through hardship also because of God's judgment on a wicked nation. And so in the midst of this judgment, God makes provision for His servant Elijah. God says, I have a place prepared for you to live. Really, where? It's in the mountains. Wonderful. I've always loved the mountains. Well, don't get too excited. You're going to be living in a ravine with a brook in the bottom, and I've arranged for birds to feed you twice a day. Think what you will. But realize that God provided for him, even though it wasn't exactly the sort of thing most of us would sign up for. You know, the sides of a ravine are kind of steep. And so here he's living on the side of a giant rocky ditch with a little brook down at the bottom, waiting for his next meal. Lord, couldn't we do better than that? Now, God could have answered and said, I have a number of servants living in caves right now. Maybe you'd like to join them. But the question wasn't, where would you like to be? The question is, where did I tell you to go? Guess where the food was going to be delivered? To the ravine. You want to be in the right place for God's provision? Then be in the place He told you to be.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And God will provide for His obedient children. He always does. He will provide. But the reason that Elijah was in the ravine was not because he thought, where can I get away from Ahab? He was where he was because it's where God told him to be. And in the place of obedience, not a comfortable place, but in the place where God told him to be, God met his need every day. I'd like to have some sort of locker and a bunch of food there so that I know I've got enough for the next 6 weeks. Maybe a 3-year supply would be good. You know, just to be safe. I mean, wouldn't you like to have more than just this meal? Wouldn't it be good to know that at least we've got supper in the fridge? We've got food in the pantry? Elijah had none of that. Jesus told some guys who were not starving and who knew how to make a living, I want you to pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus wants us to develop, to cultivate an attitude of dependence on God. Because when you learn to depend on God day by day, out of that attitude of dependence will come an attitude of gratitude. You will be giving thanks for your food when you don't take it for granted anymore. When you realize that this is from God. God provided me with this. God could have said, I'm going to have a bunch of animals bring you food, and you're going to have a store of it. But instead, this was the manna principle. You only get enough for today. And in Elijah's case, it was twice a day. He didn't even get enough in the morning to last him for that evening. He got enough in the morning to last him until that evening. And then in the evening, he got to eat again. Is that good enough for you? I mean, that was God's plan for Elijah, but it's like, well, I mean, you may be able to treat Elijah that way, but I think I deserve a little more. Really? Okay, maybe not. I mean, this is God's beloved servant. This is a man who is doing what God told him to do. He's where God told him to be. And this is the way God provides for him.
Okay, so what you're saying is if we're obedient to God, he'll take care of us. And then sometimes when he takes care of us, it'll be sort of a little bit at a time.
Yeah, and it might not be comfortable. And it might not be glamorous. And God will teach us in that situation how dependent we are on him. And then when we've learned our lesson, we're really getting it, then what's the next thing? Well, in his case, the brook went dry. I was not expecting that. I was thinking after a while, God says, okay, you've done a great job. Now you can go tell Ahab it's going to rain again. No. He's living there, and the birds bring the food, but he depends on the brook for water. And he notices over time that there's not quite as much water in the brook as there seems like there was before. Well, that makes sense because there hasn't been any rain. But, you know, God put me here. Why am I here? God put me here. He sent me. I'm here out of obedience to God, so I'm sure there will always be water in the brook. Right? Ha-ha. Yes, I'm counting on it. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So what does that look like? Well, my water source became less and less. And finally, I was having to sort of scoop out a little pool to try and collect a little water so that I could get some there. Because instead of rushing along, now it was a trickle. And now it's dried up. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath. See, I would have wanted a word a little ahead of time. You know, Elijah, listen, over the next couple of weeks, you're going to notice the brook is going to be getting less and less current to it, and it's going to stop. But I've already made arrangements. You're going to be moving in a couple of weeks to Zarephath, and I've already made arrangements for you there. It's all going to be good. So I just want you to relax. Don't stress about this. No, the word of the Lord came after the brook dried up. Have you ever had an experience like that in your life? I have.
I'm looking and I can tell this is not a workable situation if it continues. I'm watching the trend. I know God can turn it around. I know God can fix this. But currently the trend looks grim. And so, Lord, we are calling on you. We have learned that we are utterly dependent on you. We can do nothing without you. And we're happy to be in a position of dependence. But would you please tell us, what's the plan? And there's nothing. You just don't hear a thing. I've been there. It's like, God, please tell me, what do you want? What are you doing here? Well, you sent me. Okay. Have you still got water? A little. Have you still got food? Twice a day. But when the water is running out, I want to have heard from God what the next step is. Just tell me. I'm here out of obedience. I've been depending on you. I delivered the message to Ahab that you told me to give him. Now, what's the plan? After the brook dried up, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Can we please get it sooner? Not unless God chooses. God says what he wants when he wants. God does what he wants the way he wants. We're not in charge. God isn't our servant waiting on us. We are his servants. And we're to wait on him. And when God was ready, God sent him a message. And that is, I've got a place prepared for you. And now I want you to go there. Go to Zarephath. Now let me tell you, going to Zarephath, I mean, we'll look at that, God willing, tomorrow. But going to Zarephath, I would have thought maybe, you know, a prosperous citizen of that country who is going to be able to provide for you as a prophet deserves. You've spent the time in the ravine. You've served me well. You've been humble. And I'm very pleased with you, Elijah. Now you're going to get to go and live in the guest room of a wealthy family in Zarephath. God says, no, you're going to be living with a widow. Really? Has she got savings? No, she's destitute. And so somebody who really can't take care of herself, you're going to send me there to be an additional burden? Sounds like a plan. All of this to say, very often our lives are not what we would script. Very, very often we think, God, this would be great. I've got it figured out. I've got it mapped out. I've got it planned. If you will just come through, I know you have the resources, you can make this happen. This will be so cool, and I will give you all the praise. And God says, well, that's interesting, but that's not the script I wrote. You want to serve God? Then you wait on him. You do what he says. And it turns out, as difficult as it can be, as much patience as it requires, as often as God asks us to do things we would not have chosen to sign up for, God knows best. And who do we look to as one of the greats of all time, whose life is a model for us? Elijah. Not just in the Old Testament, also in the New. He's a giant. And out of all the people who had already gone on to the other side, who were invited to come and meet on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was being seen in his glory, who gets invited? Who does the Father bring to the party? He brings Moses and Elijah. Okay, I'll sign up for that.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.